Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, welcome to My First Time, a mostly sexy sex podcast from Broadly. My name is Xing Xing.
I was very much like dominated, or I allowed myself to be dominated. I was very much like wanting to please them and never really thought about what I was getting from it.
Today on My First Time, how does an eating disorder affect your sex life?
Hi, my name is Laura, and this is my story of how I discovered my sexual self in recovery from an eating disorder.
At least 30 million people in the US have an eating disorder, according to the National Association of Anorexia Nervosa and Associated Disorders. That's millions of people of all ages and genders dealing with life, school, work, or family, or whatever, while also handling a serious mental health issue. Our guest today, Laura Hearn, has spoken about having an eating disorder on her online platform, Jigsy, but she's never spoken about her sex life in relation to her mental health. Laura has worked through relapses, recovery, and now reflection. This is her story.
It was really like when I was 10 or 11 and I was quite chubby. I never binge, but I overate on like cereals and things. And pick at like bits of chocolate or pieces of cake, but never quite eat the whole thing. And I was quite bullied, and I think it was quite a vulnerable age. My parents were split up, and I just didn't like my body. I felt like I was heavy. And that kind of went on pretty much throughout my teens. But then when I was 17, 18, it got worse. There was a catalyst for it. My stepfather was killed suddenly in a car crash, and I'd gone traveling. I remember we went to an all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet. We were like sort of, you know, a bit short of cash and stuff. And I had this overwhelming thought or desire to go to the toilet and just get rid of everything I'd eaten. I'd never done it before, and I hadn't even overeaten. But from there, it was really that kind of continued throughout my traveling with my friend until it got to so bad that she kind of noticed it, and I thought, I don't know, something switched to my head. I was like, well, it's obviously much easier just to not eat. And so I just began restricting. And when I returned, I kind of lost a bit of weight, and everyone congratulated on me and was like, oh, you look really great. And I guess a normal person may have just stopped there, but it something had gone in my head and I just couldn't stop. And I rapidly lost weight within sort of 6 months, over-exercising, lying, getting changed back into my clothes after going to the gym. And I don't even know who I was. I was actually some monster had overtaken my head, and I was lying and throwing food over the garden fence, and like, you know, I crashed my car, and then my family were like, okay, you have to get some help. At that sort of time, eating disorders weren't really known about that much. My family didn't really know much about them. This was sort of 10 years ago, I guess. And I went into some sort of private treatment that didn't work before I went to university, and I kind of somehow got myself through university, but I relapsed and I had more time off. And then I guess I was kind of an existing anorexic in a way. I was sort of like just on the tip of the iceberg, holding down a job. My social life was pretty non-existent. I was relapsing. I couldn't quite get treatment on the NHS, like sort of not quite ill enough, but even though I felt like I was dying in my head. So I did private treatment. That never really quite, I just never found anything that really inspired me to get well, or I couldn't. It was all about dealing with my emotions, and it was never about like looking in a magazine or stepping on scales and wanting to be some supermodel. It was like I had a really ingrained sense of self-hate and punishment and guilt around my stepfather's death, and trying to match the standards of my real father, trying to get attention, and just I hated myself. I had no confidence, and my identity had then become my eating disorder.
For Laura, her eating disorder had a direct impact on her dating life. She's had two meaningful romantic relationships, one at college while she was dealing with her eating disorder, and she's in one right now in London.
It's not something I'm proud of or I'm boastful about, but I've slept with a lot of people, but I actually couldn't tell you the names of them. I feel it's like a really strange thing. I couldn't tell you that I was not connected to them in any particular way. Like, I felt like my body was a bit of a vehicle. And it's only since I've been with my current partner that I realized that actually I was not really a part of any sexual encounter I had. I was very much like dominated, or I allowed myself to be dominated. I was very much like wanting to please them and never really thought about what I was getting from it. And I guess I wasn't like hugely shy about it. I just never enjoyed sex ever. Like it, and also I guess at uni I was quite sexually active, and then when I went traveling I was, but then there was a whole chunk of my 20s where like nothing happened. And then there was a period of time in my 20s where I did the whole Tinder thing, and I had lots of, you know, some one night stands. I remember there was one session I had in a therapy session. It was called Sex and Relationships, and I was just so freaked out by it. I was like, oh my God, like, I just couldn't talk about it. I was so shy about it. And yeah, I just, it was a whole area that was just shut off for me. And when you have an eating disorder, like you don't have, just you don't produce the hormones. So it wasn't like I was ever like wanting sex either. It was like something that was just not part of my life in a way. You can't actually have a relationship when you have an eating disorder because there's three of you in it. Like, you can't be present. And I do remember the first time we had dinner or something, and I kind of did freak out about something. And now that same meal is like chicken goujons, which I love, and chips and peas. I asked for like one dinner for our Valentine's, and I was like, just make me that. And I remember the first time we cooked it, I was like a bit freaking out about the amount of oil. But yeah, you can't consistently keep that up, because you can hide it for a bit, but you can't ever really. And also, you never let anyone in completely. Like, there's always this barrier that you're keeping something from someone. And sex with someone that you're like without the emotional side to it is just, it's just an act. There's no kind of intimacy. And before I met him, like, I didn't even know what it was to have pleasure myself. Like, I remember him asking me one time, like, so what do you like, or what do you want? And I was like, what? What do you mean? I literally don't know. Yeah, it's a really strange one. Like, you just can't have a meaningful relationship when you have an eating disorder. And I guess probably he is probably one of my biggest gifts that I've had in recovery. Someone who's so like supportive and so just never made me feel strange at all. And actually, it was like, it was a two-way thing to have sex. It's not just one way. Like, it's not just like, it's all about him. And then I'm just like, but I didn't know any difference. So I thought that was okay. It's not like I was abused or, you know, like, but when I look back on it, it was like, oh my God, I would never allow my body to be treated with such like little disrespect now. And I've never shared this before, but I didn't even have an orgasm until I met Matt properly. I feel I had so much shame around that. Like, it was just such a crazy thing. Like, but I feel like I need to like talk about it, because I can't believe I'm the only one. Even if you have got an eating disorder or not an eating disorder, but like, I had never like even investigated myself at all. It was like, no, I felt like that was a dirty thing to do. Like, it was a really shameful thing to do.
In 2012, our guest Laura went into treatment for her eating disorder with a 7-month program at a clinic in the US. It changed her whole life, physically, mentally, and sexually.
I think actually when I came out of the clinic, I began to be a bit more sexually active, or like wanting to meet someone, I guess. But that was all doing like the Tinder thing. And it was inevitably, you know, meeting a guy for a couple of weeks, and then, you know, you didn't hear from them again, where it works out. So then I started to think, okay, so they might find me attractive, but they don't want to stay with me. So that then gives you another reason. It's like, okay, so what's wrong with my personality? Like, it was always wrong with my body, and now it's my personality. And I guess when looking back at it now, I think it's because still I wasn't quite, obviously I probably hadn't met the right person, I was looking in the wrong places, but I still wasn't really comfortable or able to feel enough worth in myself to get put a boundary in. Like, and I now have boundaries, I have a voice, so maybe that is giving me more self-respect about what I want or what I don't want. But I mean, you know, meeting Matt was completely random, and I always thought I'd love to meet someone like organically, but it never happens anymore, because like, my friends have got boyfriends or girlfriends, and you don't meet them. I mean, you know, like, it's not that easy to meet people. But it was at a work event, and random. He says he doesn't really go out that much, and I was at a work event and we just met. And I remember sort of thinking, oh, you know, we were about to go on our first date, and I was walking down the tube station at Oxford Circus, and the reception was going out, but I waited at the top of the platform, and I said, oh, look, I just need to tell you something before we meet. Because I was like, if he really likes me, I don't want to get really, like, worried that if I tell him, then he won't want to meet me, and I just need to get this out of the way. And I was like, oh, I've got something to tell you, and you can totally be fine and not meet me tomorrow or whatever. He was like, okay, what? Like, what? Because I think he thought I was going to say I was married or something. I said, oh, well, I'm just, like, still having some treatment or therapy for an eating disorder. I kind of got it out like that. And I was like, so it's totally fine if you don't want to meet me tomorrow. He was like, yeah, okay. And is that what you were going to say? And I was like, yeah. He was like, well, I'm still meeting you tomorrow. And I was like, oh, my God, thank goodness. And luckily, I was in a place. If I was in a place still where I was, like, you know, was really in my eating disorder, then I wouldn't have been open to it. He would have been open to me maybe, and I just knew it wouldn't work. But I was, you know, in a pretty good place. And yeah, I kind of went from there. And yeah, like, he's always accepted me as I am. And, like, he's been very supportive. And, I mean, I've never experienced sex like I have with him. I still felt quite ashamed at the beginning. And I think he would probably say I was a little bit, like, I don't know what he would say, actually, but maybe he would notice the difference now that I'm much more free and playful, maybe, or, yeah. Yeah, I actually, you know, think about it, I actually never thought I'd be in a place where I'm in a, you know, in a relationship where I feel on neutral ground, like, as a valued as a human and desired and not less than. Like, always in other sexual relationships, it was always I was the lesser one. And I guess that's how my eating disorder ran parallel to my sexual self, I suppose. I realise now how much calmer I am, how I'm able to articulate my feelings. I think Matt and I have communicate really well with each other. There are things that come up and we talk about them. I'm just about to move in with him, which is quite a big deal for both of us. But hopefully, if we talk about it and our feelings, that will help smooth the path. But I, you know, just in all sorts of relationships, I was just never able to articulate how I felt, as I never felt like my opinion really mattered. I was always, I guess, the quiet one. I am by nature quite a quiet person, but I would never, even when I thought I hadn't done something wrong, or, you know, I'd always apologize, and I'm a people pleaser, and that means inevitably end up being like a doormat. And now, you know, I can say to Matt, or, like, you know, that's not okay, or, but in a way that we don't argue or have screaming matches. And so all those things, I've built up my confidence. So I guess all the things I learned in America is about how to be in the world as a human being, whereas I just didn't know how to be a human being in the world, like, and only knew how to be in my eating disorder.
Our guest Laura has spoken a lot about having an eating disorder. She even set up a support community for people affected by EDs. You can find it by searching online for Jixi. We're all negotiating our lives, including our sex lives, within the context of our own mental health. But for Laura, having an eating disorder really killed her libido. It messed with her love life for a long while. Even though she's used to reflecting on her mental health, telling her story today and talking about her sexuality has been a real challenge.
This is probably the hardest one I've probably talked about, because it's, like, far more intimate, I suppose. But actually, it feels quite freeing to say I didn't have an orgasm until I was, like, 30. And why? And, you know, to say that I'd never even masturbated, or that my boyfriend bought me, like, a sex toy or something, is, like, so... so at the same time, it's, like, really difficult, and I'm cringing sitting here telling you. At the same time, it's, like, really empowering, because I wish someone had talked to me about this, or tried to talk to me about it before. Because, like, having sex is just, like, part of life, and it's a huge no-no area when you're in your eating disorder. So I feel like I'm almost making up for lost time in a way. Not by having lots of sex, but feeling comfortable with my body in that way and feeling like a woman. Like, I really wanted to be a child for so long, because I was terrified about all the things that were of being a woman would become. But actually, being a woman is so much better. Like, just being in life is so much better. I never thought I would be here talking about this and feeling okay about talking about it. I really think it's not that cliche of you have to be okay on your own before you can be with someone else. I'm not entirely sure I buy into that whole thing. I think you definitely have to be in a place where you are kind of in tune with yourself a bit more and not like on some other planet like I was when I was in my eating disorder. But someone, you know, in this world, we are kind of human beings that like interaction and contact with other people. And being in a relationship is something that I don't feel I need. I think if you need it or you're craving it, instead of just wanting or waiting for the right person, then that's never going to be sustainable. I actually grew to be okay on my own. I spent out of treatment. I spent, you know, a good maybe 2 years kind of on my own, enjoying life and discovering myself and being back present in the world. And that gave me the confidence and also the ability to know what I wanted in someone for like long term, or, you know, to be on the same page as someone. And meeting Matt was just completely random, and it's taken a long time for us even to, you know, move in with each other, and took a long time for our relationship to grow. He had come from a, you know, long term relationship, and it took him a long time for him to tell me he loved me and stuff. So the whole thing has been quite organically grown, which I've really enjoyed. And I don't think, you know, if I'd met him a few years ago, or 5 years, you know, 5 years ago, I don't think it would have worked, because I just wasn't in the right zone or the right place. I didn't know enough about myself. So I would definitely say, you have to be really careful when you're in recovery, that you're wanting to be with someone for the right reason, and not just to fill a void of feeling like you need to be needed and you need that attention, which is what an eating sort of desperately craves. So know that you're okay on your own, and that someone, if you meet someone, they're a compliment, or they're like a bonus to part of you, so that you can give. Otherwise, you're not able to give what they need. A relationship is a two-way thing, and they need things from you, and you have to be able to be resilient at times, and, you know, take rejection or hurtful, you know, you just don't know. Things come up in relationships, and if you're not strong enough in your sense of self, then those things could possibly put you back into recovery, into a relapse. So yeah, I would definitely say wait and be strong enough in your recovery to know what you want, and that you found the right person for the right reasons. And communicate with them. Like, you know, rewiring my brain is almost like I spoke Arabic for like so long in an eating disorder, and now I have to learn to speak English. And you have to articulate how you're feeling about, you know, anything with your eating disorder, you know, with your partner. And they don't get it. They're not meant to get it. They get it to a point, but you have to help them out as well. So really talk to them about things and don't keep it to yourself. And I've had to learn to do that, because sometimes I have a tendency to bottle things up, and now I generally kind of talk to him and say, this is how I'm feeling, and that really helps. So yeah.
Thanks for listening to My First Time, a mostly sexy sex podcast from Broadly. And thanks to our guest, Laura. My name is Xing Xing, and I'm the UK editor at Broadly. This episode was produced by Sam Bonham. If you're into what we're doing, please tell a friend. Rate and subscribe when you get a sec. And of course, be sure to check out the article on Broadly featuring Laura. See you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.